When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
Oh, you do?
The Mark Reardon Show.
I got into broadcasting because I like to give. Sometimes I found myself hurting from giving too much.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Tonight, Israel is under attack from Iran. Multiple ballistic missiles, up to 100, according to initial reports, were just fired at this country.
Yeah, that is Trey Inks on Fox when all this was going down a few hours ago. It's the middle of the night now in Israel, and it is a very strange situation. I guess I could say at least the nuclear dust isn't going to hit us here in the middle of the country, right? Because, holy smokes, you don't know what to expect. You know, I say that half jokingly. But, Fred, tell me if I'm kind of wrong on any of this. Hi, Sue, by the way. How
Hi,
are you?
Fine.
You know, you have how many? 180 missiles
right.
that fly over. I don't even know. Do we have a number of how many were intercepted by the Iron Dome? But it didn't hit anything.
Most were intercepted. A couple landed in fields. No one was hurt.
Okay. But that's why there were not impacts, because the Iron Dome worked, is what we understand, right?
And there's something new they're using as well as the Iron Dome. There's something with a different name they're using now as well to protect themselves.
Well, there were several rounds of attacks. Here's Trey.
And there is clearly another attack unfolding as we speak. And we're just going to watch this play out here and look at the skyline. And Randall's going to come back to me for a second. Oh, wait. Okay. So look at the skyline here. And you can see, again, Harris, this is Haifa, Israel, the northern part of the country. Interceptions that are taking place right now in real time.
Yeah, Trey Inks has been incredible. He's just kind of calling, doing the play-by-play, and you see these missiles just flying through the sky. I mean, you had, at one point, Fred, I don't know if you saw this, they had this graphic, it was a screen capture of the alarm system that went off, right?
Yeah.
And they indicated a little red, you know, like when you map something, you try to pin someone on the map where you send someone a...
Yeah.
So they had little pins that were dropped, like... cover the whole damn region because these things were going off everywhere. So the Pentagon is condemning this. They held a news conference a short time ago. KJP, did she mention this today or was she just talking yesterday? Did they have a briefing today, Fred? I don't know if she did.
I don't know.
Yeah, she had one yesterday. That's when she was pressed on the dock workers right. and stuff like that. So I don't know if they've actually held any kind of...
Pentagon just had one.
Right. And we're going to keep you posted. Look, I'll be honest with you. And, you know, I kind of call it like I see it. This is geopolitics and the implications of all this. Not my strong suit. Not something I can analyze. We're going to make sure that some people can hear this afternoon, including Daniel Flesch, who's a Heritage Scholar. But I still think, you know, we're coming up now. What is it? Sunday is the anniversary? Which day? Yeah, because it was a Saturday, right? October 7th. No, Monday. I guess that would be Monday. So right. October 7th was, I thought that was a Saturday last year. Do we have a leap year? Maybe I'm forgetting that. But Monday is the anniversary of this, and now it's being taken into a different, you know, situation. We'll keep you posted on all of that as we move along this afternoon. You know, on the politics front, we have a Veep debate tonight. Sue, I have to admit something. And Fred, you said you watched Saturday Night Live over the weekend?
Yeah.
Okay. So I went back.
Yeah.
Per your recommendation.
Just for the Dana Carvey.
Well, I was pleasantly surprised by something else. So I go in last night. There were two things that I did last night. I want to talk about them. One this morning, actually, on television. Television related, if you will. Becky wanted to watch it, too. She heard us talking about it yesterday. Mm-hmm. So during halftime, I said, all right, let's fire this thing up on Paramount Plus. And we opened, watched the cold open with Maya Rudolph as Kamala. She does a brilliant Kamala.
It
makes
brilliant.
Me wonder why in the world we haven't seen that for the last 3 years, right? But I'll tell you what the best part of it was.
I think you know the answer. But yeah.
Well, you know what, though? Maybe part of it is, in fairness, part of the answer is she's not the president, right? She's the vice president. And she wasn't out there that much to make fun of her. We've seen more in the last 3 months
Fair
where we can
enough.
Make fun of her. But, again, Dana Carvey comes in and does a brilliant Joe Biden. I mean, he just nailed it. And I kind of heard it yesterday when, you know, we played a little bit of the audio. But let me tell you something that you didn't tell me about yesterday.
Uh-oh.
And I didn't know who it was. I had to Google it. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan as Tim Walz was incredible. You guys, how could you not tell me about Jim Gaffigan doing Tim Walz? Because it was amazing.
I haven't been this excited since I got a 10% rebate on a leaf blower from Menards. What can I say? I got that BDE, Big Dad Energy.
There,
you get it?
I got it. I didn't want it, but I got it.
You know, Trump and Vance are weird. All right? And they want the government to control what you do in your bedroom and what books you read. You know, in Minnesota, we have a saying, mind your damn business. We also have another saying in Minnesota, my nuts froze to the park bench.
I thought that was funny. By the way, when he delivered that line, I don't think the people in the audience were laughing. I was laughing my ass off in the living room last night. But I'd be hard-pressed if I see those two guys on stage determining which one is Tim Walz. That's how good Jim Gaffigan was on this whole thing.
Here, folks, when Kamala Harris called me and asked me to be her vice president, I said, yeah. This is personal for me. I love this country, and as a former teacher, I need the money. This suit is from Costco. It's a Kirkland brand. They make great dog food.
Okay, I just thought it was really good. But here's the other thing. So I don't know who the dude is that was playing Trump, but they did everyone in there, right? And then they go to the Trump part. And it just wasn't that funny.
Of course.
He clicked on a couple of different lines. You know, I could laugh at someone doing Trump. If it's funny, it's funny. And that's why, you know, it's so disappointing that comedians in Saturday Night Live in particular didn't go after Joe Biden. I mean, what Dana Carvey proved is the material is just gold.
It is gold.
And you passed up on that material because of politics for the last 3 years? Really?
Yep.
Why? Well, open it up and let's start having a little fun. And making SNL worth while again. I didn't watch Gene Smart. I did want to watch some of that. But I stopped after the open last night. And, you know, it just part of it wasn't funny because of the Trump stuff. It just the guy who was playing Trump just wasn't as good. Here's what I would also say about Saturday Night Live. Look, you saw three polished, professional, really good comedians up there and actors. Maya Rudolph, Jim Gaffigan, Dana Carvey. heads and tails, leaps and bounds above that crappy cast, Mikey Day and all the rest of them. They suck. So focus on, let's just bring the old cast back on Saturday Night Live, or at least
it's when they had some real, real talent.
Unbelievable. Yes, I would agree. All right. So the other thing that I watched, and I did this morning, and Fred, I don't know if you noticed this throughout the weekend, but there was a fair amount of coverage for 60 Minutes. You know, if you watch games on CBS, they're going to try to, you know, turn you through. One of the reasons they get these NFL packages because they want to promote their other shows. 60 Minutes was a big part of it. So they're promoting this story about Caitlin Clark, but it's not really about Caitlin Clark. They have to say, oh, yeah, Sue, you look confused. Have you not seen this?
Uh-uh.
Oh, yeah. It was going to be a story about Caitlin Clark and the rest of the WNBA superstars, except there is no other WNBA superstars. It's just Caitlin Clark. Nobody knows the names of any of these other women, and maybe they will, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But 60 Minutes used to be, and we've talked about this, used to be that destination show. And I think a fair amount of the people in this country, like most of them, whether they're black or white, want to see some news about Caitlin Clark because she has been a phenom. And it really is an incredible story. Now, it's okay to do a story like that and kind of talk about the impact that she had on the rest of the league, but they didn't do that. They had to focus on other things and interview other African-American, you know, WNBA players. It's just really kind of amazing that, and it shouldn't come as any surprise whatsoever. Here's what she sounded like.
When Clark was growing up in Iowa, already running circles around the boys, her dad took her to see a WNBA game in Minnesota. She returned home hell-bent on adding distance to her jump shot.
I'm like begging my dad to like tear up some grass and pour more concrete so I could have an entire three-point line in my driveway.
Did that really happen? You extended your range by dumping more concrete.
Yeah, because it was like kind of slanted. Our driveway was like slanted, so I only had a three-point line on one side of the driveway. So I told my dad he had to tear up all this grass.
And I think you could go through the history of time and you could look at profiles that 60 Minutes have done, whether it's on someone that I like quite a bit, Bruce Springsteen, or maybe it's Tom Hanks, or maybe it's Billy Joel, who was just here, or Sting. They've done profiles on a lot of these folks. And when they did the profile, for example, on, let's say it's Tom Hanks, they didn't also do the profile on other people that he co-starred with. Okay?
Right.
They kind of focused on Tom Hanks. But CBS, in its virtue signaling wisdom, could not bring themselves to just do a story on the white girl.
Yep.
That was not going to happen because, oh my gosh, this is just all about white supremacy. This is a lot more than just Caitlin Clark, except it's really not. And one of the things they pointed out in that story, this is good for the WNBA because of Caitlin Clark. You know that they were flying coach until this year? They finally have charters.
Oh, that is interesting.
It isn't. Well, but look, when the budgets explode like this, when the revenue explodes is what I should say, that makes the budgets
bigger, of course,
as well. But it was a disappointing story because it really should have been on Caitlin Clark. And if you want to do a story on somebody else, Angel Reese or somebody else, then do that story.
Right.
Right? Because it's just ridiculous the way that you virtue signal. And we'll get into that a little bit more as we move along as well. This is a fascinating story. We got Jennings coming up, by the way. Jennings is going to preview the Veep debate for tonight. So we'll get him on here in just a couple of minutes. We're also going to kind of focus a little bit on Pete Rose. Fred, I got home last night. I sent you the text message. You had not heard about it yet.
No.
I had just a few months ago, and I was bragging on this documentary. I think it was on Max on Pete Rose, which was excellent. And when that came out, I sorry, coughing fit. I texted a friend of mine a few months ago. He's on the show every once in a while. In fact, he'll be on the show today. We call him the Big Unit. His name is Bill Michaels, and he's from Cincinnati. I work with him in WTMJ in Milwaukee, and he is a syndicated sports host in Wisconsin right now. And Bill was the first person I texted when I saw the Pete Rose show because I remember all the stories that he had about Pete and, you know, the great Big Red Machine. And I said, dude, you got to watch this. And at the time, he had not seen it, but he blasted out a great story about Sparky Anderson and Pete that was on Twitter last night. We booked him for this afternoon. I think he's going to join us at 4:45, right?
Nice.
4:45 this afternoon. We have Dave Strom from hotair.com a little bit later. And then, Fred, you should talk about, Sue, I don't know if you know about this. I do want to focus, and maybe this is the way to do it, because I mentioned yesterday North Carolina is devastated. Oh, yeah. And the more videos you see, the worse it gets, because now some of these images are emerging. But Fred had the chance to speak with Franklin Graham today.
Yeah. Really? That's cool.
When the flooding started, after the hurricane hit, you know, Mark said, let's try and get somebody in North Carolina to talk about. So we thought about Doug High, who is one of our regulars, political regulars.
And he's a North Carolina guy.
Right, and he lives in North Carolina. He couldn't do it. And then I just knew that Franklin Graham likes to talk with me. I had a good relationship with his dad, Reverend Billy Graham. So I know when I send him a text and ask, he usually does it. So I sat down, talked with him on the phone about relief efforts in North Carolina and what he's seeing. So we'll hear that a little bit later today at 5:25.
That's awesome, Fred.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a little bit of a connection with this show, too. And I don't know how long he's had this role, but he leads Samaritan's Purse, right?
That's right.
And I've been indirectly connected with them for, I don't know, we go back 7, 8, maybe even 10 years, right?
Right. And we always have one of their people on to talk about their
Christmas shoebox. What's our friend, Fred? I can't remember his name, but he's
Alex
awesome.
Alex Sinjamanga.
Right. Thank you for remembering that. Who, you know, his relatives were literally murdered. And
in Rwanda.
Right. Yeah. And he went back. You know, his story is amazing because every time he comes on here and tells it, he actually went back to Rwanda and met the people who killed his family and forgave them his Christian heart. And it's really an amazing story. And Samaritan's Purse is great.
Yeah. And they've got this Christmas shoebox, you know, donation that they do where you pack stuff into a shoebox and you donate it and it all goes overseas.
Yeah. So we're going to feature that conversation that Fred did with Franklin Graham a little bit later this afternoon at 5:25. And we'll see what he has to say about North Carolina, plus an audio cut of the day. So a lot going on here. I got a bunch of Phil stuff that I want to get to as well. We got the, you know, the situation with the Veep debate tonight. And Jennings is going to preview that coming up next here on 97.1 FM Talk. We're off and running here on a Tuesday afternoon edition.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move.
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Walls is a buffoon. He's had one consequential press interaction with our Dana Bash, who asked him about the fabrications in his own resume, and his answer was essentially, you know, me no understand words good. I mean, he's a buffoon. He's on a free ride,
Scott,
for running under Harris. He gets very little press. They don't let him talk to the press for a reason.
I'm just going to introduce him the way that Dana was saying. Scott. 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 How are you, Jennings?
I'm good. I'm in New York waiting for the big debate tonight. That's what we're doing today.
I'm telling you, you have converted some, Fox is not going to like this, but you have converted some loyal Mark Reardon Show fans into Scott Jennings fans, and they're tuning into CNN now to see what you have to say after these things.
I know. I'm trying to give the people what they want, which is the truth. The truth about what's going on in this presidential campaign. Trying to do it every day.
So I just talked about this, just on a side note. Did you happen to see Jim Gaffigan playing Tim Walz the other night on SNL?
I did. He nailed it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he had the guy nailed. And, he played him exactly the way he is, sort of this silly acting buffoon. And I think it was an inspired choice. Gaffigan's from the Midwest. He got Walls down, I think.
Jennings, that was one of the best impersonations I think I've ever seen. And I even said this, like, if you put those two guys next to one another, I don't know that you'd be able to tell the difference. That was really, really good. It was brilliant. By the way, I thought Dana Carvey was good as Biden as well. But expectations for tonight. Look, this has the potential to be a bit more substantive than the previous debates, doesn't it?
Oh, well, we'll see. I mean, these VP debates rarely mean that much to voters. VPs rarely mean that much to voters. I mean, what do we remember from the one in 2020? A fly landed on Mike Pence. That's all we remember. And
that's
then,
a good point.
And not a I have never met a single person ever that can remember a single thing that happened in the debate between Mike Pence and Tim Kaine in 2016. Heck, I can't even remember anybody that knows Tim Kaine ran for vice president in 2016. So it's like, you know, these guys sort of come and go. I think tonight, Walls, I think, might be in over his head on some of the national issues. I think Vance is pretty well schooled, and he's a good TV kind of cable debater. So I'm expecting something out of Vance here, and we'll see how it goes. I don't want to overread, though, what kind of impact it could have on the race, especially when all this other stuff's going on. You got Israel is under attack. North Carolina is underwater. I mean, it's kind of chaos right now, and the Biden-Harris administration is presiding over all of it.
You know, and I know I sent you this text yesterday, and I knew it was never going to happen, but I think that if J.D. Vance would have said, look, people, because I think North Carolina is just being devastated, and every time I see an image, I'm thinking, you know, this is going to take a long time. It's just as bad as any of these other hurricanes, and I hope that it gets as much media attention, but it's tough, as you indicated. We might be going into World War III. But J.D. Vance should have just said, nope, VP debate. I'm going to go there and try to help people. I'm not saying do it for a posturing moment or a photo op, but good Lord, people need help, and I think it would have been the right move. In the meantime, Joe Biden's on the beach again over the weekend.
I know that the optics for Biden and Harris here, and I said this last night on Abby Phillips' show, I mean, you had Biden at the beach, you had Harris raising money with Hollywood celebrities, and then taking a photo from Air Force Two. Look, I was in the Bush White House during Katrina, and I remember Bush being pilloried for taking a photo from Air Force One. I mean, look, things go on mechanically in the bureaucracy of the federal government, FEMA response and all that stuff. But the optics, and that's what I was talking about last night, the optics of Biden on another beach day and Harris, you know, out raising money out west. It was bad optics. It was bad optics because these people in North Carolina are devastated. People are dying. People are unaccounted for. And we don't have a president right now that can really effectively address the nation about anything. And this is a bad deal, man. This is the wages of leaving Joe Biden in charge long after his long after the moment where even Democrats realize he's not up to the job anymore.
Look, you got a lot of people across the country that would argue in different ways for, you know, this amount of federal funding, that amount of federal funding. But when people desperately need help in the aftermath of a natural disaster, no one is going to throw a flag on that. And that's where the president and anyone in this position should have a layup when it shows to leadership.
Yeah, and again, there's a difference between sort of what goes on at the mechanical level of government and then what should be going on at the political leadership of the White House. The president and the vice president are supposed to be reassuring figures to the people in the affected region that, hey, we're on top of it, we're doing everything we need to do. Right now, I actually think that role is being filled by the governors. You look at what Ron DeSantis is doing in Florida. I mean, this guy absolutely is the emergency management czar country right now. Yeah. I mean, he it's just this quiet competence, this confident competence that DeSantis exhibits. I mean, imagine if you had that at the White House. We don't have that right now, but imagine if you did.
You know, we can go into, and I can ask your opinion about where the race is. We can look at the battlegrounds and the national polls and all that. But I also think that, and I'd love your opinion on this, that there is a strong undercurrent that just, you know, can't be determined right now. I think there are a lot of people, a lot of regular people, Scott, in this country who are fed up with whether it's billions of dollars to Ukraine or migrants invading and crossing the border or even the crime situation. They're tired of nobody paying attention to them. Now, this certainly manifested itself in 2016 with Trump, with working class people. But I think it's even stronger right now. You know, you see all these stories and all this help going overseas, and I don't want to be an isolationist. I know there's reasons to do these things, but don't you think that people are fed up with that kind of stuff right now?
Yeah, I think it's focus, right? And, you know, the average working class American is tired of being told, hey, the economy is better than you think it is. Look at this chart. Look at this graph. Or they're tired of being told, hey, you know, we had a very, very slight reduction in crime somewhere else over the last 3 months. So, you know, you need to stop complaining when they're locking up the toothpaste at your local, you know, drugstore. And they're tired of being told to eat charts and graphs and to use charts and graphs like bulletproof vests when they're still not able to afford things, when you still can't buy a house, when you still gotta, you know, wonder when you walk outside your own front door, what is the level of safety in my own community? They're tired of being told things are different than they actually are in their own lived experience. So when you get in trouble in politics is when you try to convince somebody of something that doesn't match their lived experience.
Exactly.
And so right now, what is your lived experience? Do you feel safe and do you feel better off? And do you think this world is more stable than it was when Donald Trump is the president? Trump has got the easiest campaign in the world to execute here. And that's the burden on him for the next month, because I think the answers are pretty obvious to most Americans.
So when I'm sitting around on the weekend watching a lot of college and professional football, I see all kinds of Kamala Harris ads. Now, we're not in a swing state here in Missouri. These are national ads by the PACs. They're pretty slick. They're polished. I've been talking about them for weeks because I think as something that's imaging, it probably works for her. I don't know what's going on in Pennsylvania, Georgia, and some of these other states right now. But how concerned are you that, you know, there's a pretty big difference in the amount of money that each campaign is spending right now, isn't there?
Yeah, Harris has a lot more money. I mean, they've just got a lot more advertising dollars. You're going to see a lot more of their ads. Now, I think the Trump campaign is smartly targeting the places that they have to win. In my mind, it's really a three-state campaign. If Trump wins Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia, this race is over.
Right.
And so I think if you were to look under the hood, I don't specifically have anything to report on this, but my suspicion is they know it's a three-state campaign, and virtually all the advertising dollars are in those three states. And I think he looks okay in Georgia and North Carolina right now. And again, it comes down to Pennsylvania. Whoever wins Pennsylvania, 95% chance they're going to be the next president. And I think of the three blue wall states, Trump looks the best in Pennsylvania. But I would not count him out in Michigan or Wisconsin. There's working people there, too, and they're just as fed up with things there, too. So
I think Michigan in particular. Absolutely. All right. That brings us to the most uncomfortable part of our conversation, the one about the St. Louis Cardinals. This is Bill DeWitt III yesterday talking about how they're going to fill the seats next year, Scott.
Yeah, we're working on our game plan. We're doing a lot of work looking at ways to improve and freshen up the game day experience for our fans. We'll see some new things next year in that regard.
Okay. They're going to freshen up the game day experience for us. I would think that might include winning more and getting to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of reaction to what happened yesterday over at Busch Stadium here.
I would like to see them freshen up the things that cause you to have, you know, a positive run differential. How about that? You know, like if you were scoring more runs in aggregate than your opponents, that might help freshen up the experience. Look, I hope they know what they're doing. I don't pretend to know the mechanics of running the front office of a baseball team. And as you know, I'm a diehard Cardinal fan, and I'll be there either way. But you gotta admit, the last couple of years, it's been kind of a slog to watch it. And, you know, there have been moments of brilliance, and there have been good things that have happened. But, you know, as a longtime fan, you know, this it's been a bit of a slog, and I think a lot of people feel that way, and they want it, and they want it to be more exciting than it has been, and like it used to be.
Yeah, I don't think we're under. Nobody should be under the guys that this is going to be an easy fix. It's not going to be an easy fix, but man, you start to think about this kind of really dragging out and getting depressed, and then also an additional slap in the face is, you know, who's in the playoffs? That team 4 hours down the road in Kansas City.
Yeah, well, and look around in the playoff. I think every team, I think I read today, every team except for Milwaukee that is in the playoffs has some element of the Cardinals on it.
Oh, great.
And so, you know, you've got players and a manager. Like, I mean, we got Cardinals all over the league who are in the playoffs. They're just not Cardinals anymore. And so as long as Milwaukee doesn't win the World Series, some former Cardinal will share in the glory out there of whoever actually does. And I think the fans, you know, you're looking around at the players that got away from us, and you're like, man, any of these guys might have been great in this lineup this year. So it does make you question the decision making at the executive level of the team. I think it's right for a fan base to question it. I hope they know what they're doing. I hope they have a plan to get us back. Because I, more than you, and Joe Arnold, our mutual friend, we want it to be as exciting as anybody. And so I think also, you know, there has been some criticism of the team, and that's okay. I mean, we're passionate, so it's okay for us to criticize. I just hope they're listening to the fans about what it's going to take to get us back as excited as we have ever been.
Well, I think that's where part of the concern from yesterday is that there's a bit of a, you know, tone deafness that occurs. Did you read the Athletic story? Did you read all that from last week?
I did, yeah, absolutely.
It was pretty devastating. All right, dude, well, listen, I don't know how you get all geared up for tonight if you do a couple of laps around the CNN studio or something like that, but we'll be waiting. We'll be tuning in after the Veep debate tonight here. We'll air it on 97.1 FM Talk, and then we'll have to flip on CNN and keep them straight on there, Scott. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, take care. It has become, and it all started, and he's not going to brag about this. He's, you know, modest, but look, the night of the first debate, when everything went awry for Joe Biden, I left Dave and Buster's specifically wanting to know, and it wasn't just Jennings. I wanted to know what they were all saying on CNN, because I wanted to know if they were going to be honest about what they had seen. And they were. And Axelrod and even some of the Democrats were. So it's refreshing, though, that he's on there trying to present a different perspective.
Right.
Look, on Fox, you get the other perspectives. They bring people on every single day that support Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, sometimes to the point of annoyance, because they're not very good. But Jenny's keeping them straight on CNN, and he has gained, I would say, a fair amount of fans and Twitter followers throughout this summer of 2024. We'll take a break. I got a very interesting story about Jamie Reed's partner. Jamie Reed, the WashU whistleblower, Children's Hospital. Fascinating story. We'll get to that coming up next. You know, he's not even here, but I throw in a little Keen on the bumper music for Fred because he's a big fan.
I close my eyes.
But he missed it. He's not in the studio. Here's my favorite story of the day in a very, very sad way. I saw this. I tweeted this out. This is in the LA Times this morning. You ready for the headline here? I think the audience is smart enough. I don't really even have to say anything more, although I will say something more. Here's the headline. Depression was rising among young people in Southern California. COVID made it worse. Really? No. No, 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 no. What happened was Gavin Newsom made it worse, right? The government made it worse. We locked people down. We forced kids to wear masks. We kept them away from their friends. We told people in California, where there's a big, beautiful beach and ocean, that you can't go there because this mysterious black smoke is swirling around that's going to go underneath your mask and right up your nostrils, and you are going to die, ladies and gentlemen. So they wonder why the kids are in bad shape in California or anywhere else. That's unbelievable. But this is what they do. They blame things that really shouldn't be blamed. You know who the LA Times should blame? Themselves. Wow. Because this is the publication that's been gaslighting ever since the spring. Every time there's a little COVID flare, they put a big headline. They put it on the front page of their website. They did it earlier this summer. They tried to blame Taylor Swift, if you remember on that. And then, you know, we did, in fairness, we had a little wave that was going through people. Remember in August? We knew a lot of people that had COVID. And everyone's fine, right? It was more like the flu or even a bad cold. Since then, not much, except if you read the LA Times. Sue, if you read the LA Times, you'd think that it's going to be worse than, you know, a few years ago, because they try to scare the crap out of people. Anyway, I thought that was just ridiculous. Here's an interesting story I came across first thing this morning, and I was fascinated by it. We've had Jamie Reed on this show a couple of different times. We had her on recently because she broke the story that that gender clinic that she worked for, that she, you know, became the whistleblower for, shut down at WashU very quietly. But this is the headline from the Free Press this morning. And Jamie Reed, when she became a whistleblower, put her piece originally in the Free Press. That would have been a year ago, almost 2 years ago, because February would be 2 years. So the headline now is, and you remember, people don't remember, that Jamie Reed is married to a trans man. I think that's how you would say it, right? A biological woman who became a man. Okay. Let's bring it full circle here. I spent 13 years living as a man, but after my spouse's expose, I'm detransitioning. Tiger Reed. This is how he identifies himself here in this article. I'm a 44-year-old librarian in St. Louis. Since 2016, I've been married to Jamie Reed. She is the whistleblower who exposed the alarming effects of gender, and he puts this in quotes because he should, gender-affirming medical care given to minors at Washington University's Transgender Center at St. Louis Children's Hospital. Her story shocked the nation. I'm also dad to the 5 children we are raising together, 2 from Jamie's previous marriage and 3 that we have adopted. And now, after 13 years of living as a man, I'm in the process of tapering down my weekly testosterone injections to begin the process of becoming a woman again. Now, this is really kind of sad when you hear some of the details here of what happened with Tiger Reed and why. I don't even know, you know, honestly, Sue, I don't even know whether to say he or she. I you know, sometimes we do that right in a little bit of a mocking fashion. In this particular case, I don't even know how to address Tiger Reed. But he writes, when Jamie exposed the harm, I'm going to say she because she's going to be a she now. Okay, right. So I'm going to go with that. When Jamie exposed the harm gender-affirming care does to vulnerable children and teens, many with a history of trauma and various mental health diagnoses, she was widely attacked by activists. That Jamie was married to me, a trans man, was powerful evidence she was no transphobe. I think we tried to point that out when we covered this story. But she says, looking back, I realized the thing that threatened me the most about Jamie going public was something I didn't want to face. This was the knowledge that my spouse and a growing chorus of knowledgeable critics were right. They were right that there was something fundamentally amiss with the message, especially to young people, that a swift gender transition was a safe, all-purpose solution to profound problems. The realization meant that I had to address my own doubts about my own transition. And this is kind of where it gets relatively sad, because what happens is Tiger Reed goes into great detail about some of the things that kind of led to becoming a man in the first place. And there's all kinds of abuse that's mentioned here. And this sort of, when you think about it, I think it reinforces the it's not even an allegation, the reality. I'll just say the reality that this is a mental illness and really should be treated like that. So he talks about, she talks about dropping out of high school in 1997, minimum wage job, 24 years old. Around that time, she says, I watched a reality series called Transgeneration. Some people might remember that. It followed 4 transgender college students. The show was life-changing for me. I felt it presented a solution, a way out of the pain of being a woman. 2011, Tiger Reed writes, was an agonizing one. I lost the one family member who had been consistently supporting me, my maternal step-grandmother. She and I talked on the phone every day for years. Her death crushed me. She wrote about having, when she was younger, very painful periods, and says in this piece, I wanted my painful periods to go away. I didn't have health insurance. The history of her life kind of goes on here, but she says, before I transitioned, I was someone who cried often. When I was sad, angry, or joyful, I couldn't hold back my tears. One of the earliest effects of testosterone was losing the ability to cry. Huh. The testosterone replaced my tears with a rage that would come out of nowhere. I'm embarrassed now to think of how my spurts of anger have hurt those around me. But there were parts of transitioning I welcomed. For example, having a beard. This gets a little bizarre. Okay, the whole process of growing one was exciting, Tiger Reed says. It symbolized that I was really making a change and doing something new for myself. And then goes into the history about, you know, Jamie meeting Jamie in 2015, says at this point, Jamie and I were both believers that the transgender movement, which was growing in visibility and power, was a good thing and an answer to people's distress. To the outside world, Jamie and I looked like a heterosexual couple, but when out by myself, people usually assumed I was a gay man. I struggled to relate to other men. I also lost my connection to the lesbian community, which I still miss dearly. Now, essentially, in this article, Tiger Reed admits she's a lesbian, okay? Was a lesbian, didn't really need to become a man, but became a man. Says in 2016, this is interesting too, when Tiger Reid was 36, I had a double mastectomy. A double mastectomy because, again, biological woman becoming a man. And she admits, following the surgery, I grieved over the loss of my breasts. Today, the harmful physical effects of over a decade on testosterone have started to make themselves known. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, high triglycerides, sleep apnea, issues with my kidneys. Aren't doctors supposed to be helping people at WashU Children's Hospital, right? While some of these problems are hereditary, the testosterone exacerbates them, and goes into great detail about how transitioning didn't bring her to the sense of comfort and inner peace, goes into great detail about some of the unfortunate abuse that she received, even, I think, from relatives, sexual abuse, et cetera. I mean, she was very troubled as a young person, and decided, and this fits the pattern so perfectly, not only what Jamie Reid wrote, the Tavistock Clinic overseas, all the other things we've learned from detransitioners. It's unfortunate that this is a piece that has to be in the free press, because it really is a piece that should be in the New York Times or the LA Times or the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. The free press is really doing the only real journalism and Substack out there right now. But Tiger Reid sort of closes this by saying this. Gender-affirming clinicians have been ignoring and dismissing our concerns. While my transition was covered by insurance, my detransition is not. To restore my hairline and remove my body hair, it will cost thousands. In the next few years, I may have breast reconstructive surgery. Good Lord. There are many questions. That's my editorializing there, the good Lord. I don't have answers to, such as whether my kids, now ranging in age from 2 to 16 years old, should still call me dad. I'm planning to change my name back to Roxanne and change my license so it says female, but I wonder if I'll ever pass as a woman. The gender-affirming care model relies on vulnerable people's impatience. Yes, it does. This is important. Rushing them toward major medical changes rather than stopping to understand the root of their pain and suffering. That line right there completely encapsulates Jamie Reid's entire whistleblower account. It really does. And it should cast a lot of shame on these so-called medical professionals, doctors, et cetera, that thought that they were doing the right thing. At an esteemed university like Washington University, it's awful. It should be. Real journalists should do real stories about this. But remember what happened in St. Louis. You had people like Alexis Zotos over at Channel 4 and the Post-Dispatch. All they wanted to do was go to, you know, people who supported transitions, the trans movement, the experts. Well, a couple of them, including Jamie Reid and now Tiger Reid, have decided that they're going to go in a completely different direction. And Tiger says, I'm going public because I want people like me who have complex and nuanced reasons for their gender distress to be part of the conversation. I want people to know that there are more options than medicalizing their bodies for the rest of their lives. When I was getting into a bit of a debate with Ben Hockman over at the Post-Dispatch, because I kept asking Ben, because he made his feelings known on, biological men playing in women's sports. He seems to be all hunky-dory with that. And at one point, when we were having a Twitter exchange, he shot back and said, Mark, what would you do? I told this story on the air. What would you do if you had and I do have a young girl. What if your kid, 6, 7 years old, came to you and said that they thought that they were in the wrong body? I would say, you need help, and we're going to get you some help. What I told him, though, the one thing I know that I wouldn't do, and nobody should do, and if you're someone out there, you know someone who's done this through WashU, shame on you. I wouldn't hop them up on hormones and suggest covering up breasts, et cetera, or cutting off body parts. How about figure this out a little bit? Maybe you have a mental illness. Maybe you're gay. I mean, most of the people that have come out now and said they're detransitioning, that's what they've realized, just like Tiger Reid. It is shameful that St. Louis has to be a part of this ground zero in this, you know, whole gender nonsense scenario. But we are. But this was interesting and maybe somewhat encouraging, even though it's very confusing. We're coming back. We got Sue's News, a few celebrity deaths to report on today, unfortunately.
Get more at 971talk.com.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event, happening now, and save up to 50% off select styles, plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.